Good day, listeners. My name is Taylor McClure, and I am your host for CIDI's Daily News Show, and thank you all for supporting Township's Daily News Bits. On this episode, I chat with Emmett Phil Corriott, co-founder of Prescrire Nature and founder of the Natural Leadership Institute, as people seek new alternatives for mental health that go beyond the traditional route or through the healthcare system. Prescrire Nature has a mission to improve people's mental health by having them reconnect with nature and encouraging health professionals to consider nature as a significant pillar in society. I had the pleasure of chatting with Emmett all about Prescrire Nature, the important role that nature plays in our mental health, why it needs to be recognized as an alternative form of medicine, and all about a specific emerging health discipline known as force therapy. We hope that you enjoy. Emmett, I just wanted to start off by thanking you so much for chatting with CIDI today. I really appreciate your time.
It's a great pleasure to be here.
Now, Emmett, you are one of six co-founders of something called Prescrire Nature, and we are here today to discuss all about it. And it caught my interest because I know that some of those involved at the group do some work here in the Eastern Townships. I was wondering if you could please start off by informing our listeners on Prescrire Nature, perhaps who was involved, and how this group came together exactly.
Absolutely. So, well, the background is that, you know, in the last 15 or 20 years, there's been thousands of publications on the health benefits of being in nature, both on the physiological, emotional, cognitive levels. And the people at Prescrire Nature are volunteers who are in the healthcare profession. So there are four MDs, myself as a pharmacist, and there is one vet. And Prescrire Nature is the Quebec version of a program, of a nature prescription program called PARX, that was launched in British Columbia by BC Parks Foundation in 2019. So they launched it in 2019, and one of the co-founders was Dr. Melissa Lem, who is also a physician. And when they looked at launching it countrywide, they were looking for people who would be motivated and to take the to create a French version for Quebec. And I was in contact with the head of the CEO of BC Parks Foundation at the time, Andrew Day, through my forest therapy activities. And so he asked me if I would be in, and I said, absolutely. And how did we all meet, the six of us? I guess we sent out, feelers to see who was motivated. A lot of the people in the group are environmentally conscious and have had a long-standing belief that the climate crisis is first and foremost a health crisis, because there's a body of evidence also that shows that the degradation of our planet has direct impact on our health as humans. Mm-hmm. So that's, I wouldn't be able to tell you how exactly we got together, but I guess it happened organically, like a lot of things. And we decided to work on creating the program for Quebec, not only translating it, but also adapting it to the culture, to the park system here. And so we started working on it in 2020, and we launched it in May 2022. So just over a year ago.
Okay, so it's very recent here in the province.
Absolutely. It's, what are we, in July? So it's just over, I guess, 13 and a half months or something.
Wow, okay. And I was wondering, if you could dive into the group's mission a little bit more. You were mentioning nature, so I'm assuming that your mission focuses on exactly that.
Absolutely. The idea behind Prescrire Nature, or PRX, is that healthcare professionals, starting with MDs, but not limited to MDs, would prescribe nature. They would actually recommend to patients and to people in general to have a dose of nature every week. And that minimum dose has been set by multiple studies at 2 hours a week. And it doesn't need to be 2 hours at a time. It can be 20 minutes at a time, 6 times a week, or, an hour twice a week, but a minimum period of 2 hours in total every week, based on the studies. And why should healthcare professionals, or is our vision to have healthcare professionals prescribe nature, because it's been demonstrated that people are twice as likely as at observing a recommendation if it's been prescribed by a doctor or a healthcare professional. And so the idea is that if it is integrated as the fourth pillar of health, you know, the fourth pillar of public health, it will be adopted by people. And the first three pillars that we've been aware of for many, many years and that are really integrated into the culture in the West are sleep well, eat well, and exercise. And an important point is that the fourth pillar, nature connection, has nothing to do with exercising. Of course, exercising in nature is fantastic. It is a motivator, but the actual benefits are not linked to the physical exercise. And I can tell you more about that later if you want. It's basically reconnecting to who we are, because we are nature. You know, the divide between nature and culture, which happened in, I guess, in the 18th century, with that famous French guy called Descartes. I am, therefore, I think, therefore I am. You know, this connected us from connection with nature and from our senses. We're so much into our heads and not into our senses. We don't connect with what's around us. And nature is a part of us. We, as humans, developed our brain, developed for thousands and thousands of years inside nature, living in nature, surviving and thriving in nature. And it's only in the last 300 years that with urbanization and modern society and what we call progress, you know, we as humans have disconnected from nature. Mm-hmm. And in 2050, it's anticipated that 50%, actually, I think a little bit more, 50% of humanity will be living in cities. So this disconnection is just accelerating.
You know, my next question for you was, why is this idea so important for the group, and why do we need this alternative form of therapy in our society? But you kind of answered that question through that response, but I didn't know if you wanted to expand further there.
Oh yeah, I love talking about that, because you know, it started in the 80s. In the 80s, there were two things happened. First of all, I'd like to say that First Nations have been aware of that for thousands and thousands of years, because the connection to nature amongst First Nations the world over, from Asia to America, is paramount. It's in culture, and there's no divide between humans and nature. However, as Westerners, in the 80s was a really critical period for, I would say, reconnection to nature. The first thing that happened in Asia, it happened in Japan. In the 1980s, Japan was the most industrialized country, and all the electronic devices were produced in Japan. Japanese cities are extremely dense. Everything was moving fast. And it was the first crisis, the first epidemic of burnout happened in Japan in the early 80s. And with the culture there, you know, it was accompanied by suicide. It was terrible. It was a really intense mental health crisis. And public authorities there decided to dive into the Shintoist culture of Japan, which is a form of Buddhism, where nature is sacred and where relationship to nature is sacred. And so they developed something called Shinrin-yoku, which means immersing one's senses in nature, which basically means walking slowly in nature with enhanced awareness and with connection to our senses, and connecting our five senses to their reciprocal elements in nature. So touching trees, smelling what's in nature, looking at the shapes, the colors, etc. And this became Shinrin-yoku, and it had an amazing effect on people. It became a real practice, so much so that it was integrated in the healthcare system in Japan. And to this day, it is integrated in the healthcare system, mostly for mental health, but it's then spread to South Korea, and it's moving towards China. So that's happened in 1980s in Japan. In parallel, in the 1980s, there was a biologist from Harvard called Edward Wilson, who coined something called the biophilia hypothesis. the biophilia hypothesis basically said the following. Actually started from an observation. It was an observational study that showed that people in cities had pretty bad mental health. They were getting depression, anxiety. And by putting them in nature and having them spend time in nature, their mental health was restored. And their attention, their ability to concentrate was restored. Okay. And so there was a conclusion that said, okay, so nature is healthy for us. But there was no idea, no one had any idea how it worked. And then if you fast forward about 20 or 25 years later, following many, many studies trying to understand why nature was so healthy, we discovered that our senses are positively adapted to reciprocate with nature. Basically, it's in our DNA to reciprocate and to be in nature. And our senses are still used, our eyesight, our sense of listening, our touch, taste even, is still adapted positively to be in nature. And when we are in nature and we allow our senses to reciprocate with different elements that I can give you some examples later, the effects are absolutely astounding. And so the biophilia hypothesis was proven, and that was the beginning of all the nature prescription programs saying, hey, now it's no longer hocus pocus. It has been proven scientifically.
Okay. Well, let's dive into that a little bit more. From my understanding, like you're mentioning, your interventions are based on being in nature and on something, from my understanding, that's known as forest therapy. I was wondering if you would be willing to explain a little bit more to our listeners what exactly this is. And like you mentioned, perhaps providing some examples of the benefits to this approach.
Yeah, absolutely. So presque nature and forest therapy are related, but are two different things. The principle of presque nature is that anyone can go spend 2 hours in nature wherever they live. They can go in their garden. They can even spend time with their plant if they don't have a garden. If they're lucky, they can go to a park, and if they're really lucky, they can go to the forest. If they live somewhere where they have a forest, and you know, in Montreal, for instance, we're lucky enough to have the Mont Royal, etc. So the idea is that anyone can go on their own and spend time in nature. Forest therapy goes beyond that. So it goes a little bit further in the sense that forest therapy is usually a guided activity where you have a forest therapy guide, someone that has been trained to actually lead people, lead groups in nature, show them how to slow down, because slowing down is very important, slowing down your body to slow down your brain, getting out of the cognitive. The idea is to really go into the senses and let go of, you know, the chatter in our minds and do little games that we call invitations that really propel you into sensory immersion and really to live deep experiences through each one of our senses by realizing and meeting nature again. So that's a forest therapy session lasts, you know, from 1 hour to 5 hours, and it's with a guide, and it's with a group. And in addition to the nature connection, there are elements of sharing. So there are talking circles with a talking stick, and people go and do their experience, do the little games, the invitations, and then they're sharing. So there is elements of group therapy as well. And so the idea behind forest therapy is by reconnecting to nature, we first reconnect to ourselves and we reconnect to others, because it's been demonstrated that in nature, the relationship and the communication between people becomes more authentic. And so that's been taken now to the corporate, to the organizational world as well. And that's what I do at Natural Leadership Institute, is team building in nature. So they're two different things.
Okay. And so I was wondering if you could maybe provide some examples as to the types of activities that you were referring to get people back in touch with their senses again. I was wondering if you could highlight some of examples for our listeners.
Yeah. So what we do is we get together and we meet in a location that's quiet, where there aren't too many people. And we're going to walk a maximum, I would say, of, you know, maybe 200-300 meters. We're going to pause frequently to share. And along the way, I, as a guide, am going to suggest some invitations to go and connect with the different elements of nature. There's water, there are trees, there are flowers, different elements. And every one of the people in the group, every one of us, usually the groups are no bigger than 12 people, gets to go and do their own thing on their own, find their own space. So the activities are really intimate. But then after we get together and we in a talking in a sharing circle, and then we share whatever we want to share about what we just lived one-on-one with nature. What we do as well, sometimes we do some of these little invitations, 2x2 or 3x3. Another part of the activity is that we do some nature connection activities where I will guide people. So people will close their eyes, will guide them through their senses, through different things, to really feel all the nature elements one by one in a very particular way. And at the end, we finish by getting together and drinking a local tea made of a local plant. We connect always with the local land, and that's the last sense, which is the sense of taste. So we find something local that is safe, and we try to find local fruits as well, or nuts and things like that. And what's also important to mention is that we always connect with the history of the land. I usually start when I do the introduction. I explain a little bit what I just explained to you today, and I talk about where we are. I explain the history of the land and how the land is alive, and that the land where we are and how it is, the landscape, its shape, its history, also shapes the experience we're going to have in that land and in the particular place where we are.
This is something that's so completely different that not many people think of, or that not many people have the opportunity to turn to. I think it's just such a wonderful thing to make available to people. A lot of people, I've spoken to those who are involved in the field of mental health, and they all mentioned that people are looking for these sort of alternatives.
Yeah, they are. I've done some guiding for kids, troubled kids. I've gone to medical centers, like co-op medical centers in Eastern Townships, and proposed it. You know, people are super excited, but then they don't necessarily follow up. Maybe I don't follow up enough. Maybe I don't persevere enough. But, you know, people usually get really excited, and when they experience it, it changes them, and they talk about it, and they bring other people and friends and family. And but it's just getting people to go out there in nature and to get out of, you know, a clinic or something like that. It's happening, but I think that part of it is the healthcare workers, you know, for them to be convinced of it. So the starting point is to convince and to have healthcare workers, you know, the nurses, the medical doctors, the pharmacists, actually experience it. And that's really a starting point, is to have who are the prescribers, you know, taste what it is, because it's really experiential. You know, everything that I'm telling you today is wonderful, but it's only words. It's very cognitive. And everything we do in a forest therapy walk is all but cognitive. It's really all about sensory experience.
People have to experience it to understand the benefits of it.
Yeah, I think the Brits say, you know, the proof in the pudding is in the eating, and it's a little bit like that. You know, you need to experience it, not just read about it.
Yeah.
And I encourage everyone to try a forest therapy session with a local guide, and you know, Nature and Leadership, natureandleadership.com is my website, in case people are interested. But there are other wonderful guides in Eastern Townships and all over Quebec.
Yeah, so I was going to ask, are there people in this area that offer this type of therapy? So there are individuals that townshippers can reach out to if they're interested.
Yes, they can go. There's an organization in naturetherapycanada.org, and there's another one called shinrinyoku.quebec.org. And these two organizations are actually group associations of guides, of forest therapy guides. One is in Quebec, the other one is Canadian-wide. But there is a Quebec chapter, that's Nature Therapy Canada. If you go on the website, you can find information, and they will refer you to local guides. And some of them are in the Eastern Townships.
Okay, great. And so do these organizations kind of work hand-in-hand with Prescrit Nature?
Yeah, absolutely. They work with Prescrit Nature in the sense that Prescrit Nature has a website. There is a resources page. You will see all the types of activities, guided activities, that go beyond just going in nature. So, for instance, forest therapy, therapy by nature and adventure, an amazing wide range of activities that are nature-based. And I encourage people to go and see that database. And these are partners of Prescrit Nature.
Awesome. Well, those are all the questions that I had for you, Emmett, about Prescrit Nature and the benefits of getting into nature and forest therapy. But I wasn't sure if there was anything else you wanted to mention that you think would be important for townshippers to be aware of.
Yeah, I guess I'd finish by talking about societal health and group health. You know, we're talking about individual health here. You know, Prescrit Nature is focused a lot on our individual health, mental health, physiological health, etc. But there is such a thing as group health in organizations. You know, how people relate to one another. You know, how people work together. You know, the kind of authenticity, the relationships, and team building in nature is amazingly effective to get people to feel psychologically safe with one another, be more creative, make better decisions, and just overall have a sense of well-being together. And that's an amazing prevention tool for burnout, which is another layer where nature has an amazing effect.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you so much again, Emmett, for taking the time to chat with CIDI. I really appreciate your time. Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.